Hi, my name is Beth Massey, and I'm here with Bora Scholl, a program manager on the Visual Studio team on the SharePoint tools, right?
Yes.
All right. How's it going, Boris?
Good.
You've done one of these before, but tell us a little bit about yourself for those who haven't seen it before.
Okay. So as you said, I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio team that built the SharePoint developer support in Visual Studio.
Okay.
And I was taking care of the PDC designer, but I'm also working on the samples you find in the box, and I'm also driving some initiatives across the group, like looking after data access technologies and stuff like that.
Cool. So where are you from?
So I'm originally from Germany, and I started at Microsoft Consulting Services back in Germany.
Cool.
Yeah, I was actually working on SharePoint projects back in 2001. I was actually working on the very first version of SharePoint.
Cool.
And then I joined a team. It was still consulting in Microsoft, which was called, it was Center of Excellence for Information Workers. And I was taking care of portal projects like Enterprise Project Management Solution, which is based off Windows SharePoint Services. And I was working on line of business integration, performance, and that type of stuff.
So you have a ton of experience with SharePoint then, really?
Yeah,
you could write a book on it, huh?
I'm actually writing a book.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Little plug, pre-plug.
Yeah.
So what are you going to show us today?
So today we're going to talk about web parts in Visual Studio, and mainly about the out-of-the-box web parts we ship in the product.
Okay.
I know if you're really experienced with web parts, or if you have worked with web parts before, you might notice a difference that we have a new web part which is called Visual Web Part.
Okay.
And I think in the overview interview you did with Big Mikey,
yeah,
I think he showed that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go a little bit more in detail and differentiation between the Visual Web Part and what we call a web part, or the web part that goes in the sandbox solution.
Okay. All right. Let's get started.
So let's start with a new project. And then under SharePoint Visual Studio 2010, we have a Visual Web Part. As I mentioned, there is another web part type available, but we don't have a project template for it. It's just a SharePoint project item, which I'm going to show later.
Okay.
So I just go ahead and click OK. And then that's the first difference, right? As you see in our SharePoint customization wizard, it says deploy as a farm solution.
Mm-hmm.
So what that actually means is that the output assembly of that project we create goes into the GAG. It's a full trusted solution.
Okay.
As opposed to deploy as a sandbox solution, which would go, the output assembly would go into the content database of the SharePoint application.
Okay, right.
So
which
the way
less rights.
Yeah, exactly. It's very restricted. It's a very safe environment.
Safe.
I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
The reason why we really disabled sandbox solution for Visual Web Parts is the way we build a Visual Web Part. That's basically not supported, because as you'll see, I should probably click finish here, and then I can talk you through the template.
Okay.
And so this is our Visual Web Designer, which is basically, as the name said, it's an ASP user control designer.
Okay.
So, and the reason why we actually cannot make that a sandbox solution lies here, because we have, if you look, this is called, by the way, a SharePoint project item.
Mm-hmm.
And in the SharePoint project item, we have a couple files, right? So, and here, this is the actual web part. It says visualwebpart1.cs. And if we click on it and we look into the create child controls method, what we actually do is we just load the, I need to scroll to the right a little bit, we just load the user control.
Okay.
So, and this page load control requires full trust.
Gotcha.
And from a sandbox solution, you cannot access anything in the file system. So that's the reason why a Visual Web Part really needs to be a full trust solution.
Gotcha. So it's because the load control is like hosting the user control.
Because actually the control itself, it goes, it's going to be laid down on the file system,
mm-hmm,
of the web server.
Okay.
And from a sandbox solution, you cannot access the file system of the web server. So that's basically the reason.
Okay.
But nonetheless, Visual Web Parts are really cool, and that's what I'm going to show you now, because we have this nice designer. And let's start with...
So if you are an admin of SharePoint, though, this shouldn't be a big deal, right? You should be able to deploy as farm solution, so that way, you know, everybody has What you're saying is this this particular web part will have full trust to everything that's on the machine is really what it is, right?
Yeah.
So you better be the big boy admin that's
so usually in a Shepherd environment, they have farm administrators,
right,
as they're called, and they
okay
will either allow you that to do that or not, right?
Okay.
Put that
all right
assembly in the GAC.
Okay.
But yeah. So, and just added, as you can see, I can just write down here, and I think that's nothing new to anyone.
So you can use all of the same ASP.NET controls on
pretty
this?
Pretty much, and that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to add a grid view control here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go up here. And I'm going to add a text box. If I find it, I'll add a text box.
D.
So, and then we're going to add a button. So what we're going to do is I basically fill this grid view control with data from the database, Northwind database.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is basically just our filter. So you
okay
can filter by country.
Okay.
So, okay, we've done that. And right now, it's basically, if I push the button, I would raise a postback for ASP.NET developers to know what's going on.
Right.
So I don't want to have, I only want to have a partial page refresh, so I'm going to make this web part a little bit Ajax-y. Right?
Okay. So you can use all the Ajax controls as
yes
well?
So what I'm going to do here now is I go in here, I switch to the source view of the control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add an update panel. I'm going to add the update panel here, and then I'm going to include my controls into the update panel.
Cool.
And then I also need to define a control template. So from an Ajax point of view, that basically says, hey, everything in there is supposed to be rendered partially. So, and that's, I'm done with my design now, and now let's access the database. So I'm going to go to my Visual Webpack project, and I'm going to add a new item. And we're going to go to data, and I'm going to use a link to SQL plots. Okay, that's your domain.
You can use any data access,
yes,
though, right?
Everything.
It is the same as any ASP.NET.
That's just
page
the only data access I know because you told me that.
A while ago.
No, so let's call it customers. I click add, which brings up the designer. And here, let's go to the server explorer, and I have my SQL server. Go to tables and add the customers tables to table.
So in this case, you could also access any other web services or anything.
Yeah.
Like that
so this is basically like as
yeah
you would design a web control.
Okay. Right.
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 Any web control would be essentially the same.
Okay. Cool.
So then we go over to let's do one thing here first. I'm gonna steal the connection string. I need in a second, and then let's go back to my control, and now I'm going into the code behind of the control.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I do is, and I know it's not necessarily best practice to put the connection string in there, but for just for demo purposes we do that.
Where
so
would be the best practice?
So that connection string could go into the web.config
of
the web application, for
okay
example, and then you could read it.
Okay.
Or also what some customers do, and some MVPs have actually, I think MVPs, they're really doing a great job, and I think on CodePlex they have a solution, it's called like a configuration library.
Okay.
So basically what's happening there is you store your connection string in a library, and then you can access the library item and read it out.
I see. Okay.
So let's say customer data context, X, and then say new customer data context, and then I'm going to add my connection string in here. Okay, so now I have my data context object,
mm-hmm,
right? So in the load control, I basically go just say gridview1 dot data source equals ctx dot customers. I know what you're gonna say because
put a filter on that.
Yes, I'm not doing that because right now I know how many customers are in my table.
Okay, all right, it's a
cool
demo. We get
that's
the
it
point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you would pull a filter on that, right?
Yeah.
So I say grid for you, and then I just basically data bind up thing. Data, where's my data bind? Just type it, and then say bind, okay. All right. So the next thing is, quickly switch back to my user control. don't have the event handler for that thing.
Oh, yeah, hook it up.
Right, and then I just basically copy that here. And then I say customers.where. Oh, I missed one important part.
Yeah.
Using
link.
System.link. Right, so now I should be able to staff.where. Okay, and then I say on, and then I say c goes to c.country, and I say equals text box 1.
Mm-hmm.
And say text, and I close that, and that should be it. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my webpart file, because the webpart file is actually the file that has the title of the webpart. If I just deployed it right now, it would show up in the webpart gallery as Visual Webpart 1, and as you can imagine, if I do a lot of demos, I have a lot of Visual Webpart 1s here. So let's say... let's call it NV customers web part.
Okay.
And then I should be good to go. And you want to debug it, or you should just.
Yeah, let's go ahead and put a breakpoint on there. Why not?
Let's
put a breakpoint on the button.
On the button?
Yeah. Okay. Button click. Yeah, there you go.
And then we're going to hit F5. So now.
So what this is doing is actually packaging up
everything
the whole thing mm-hmm. and activating the feature and all that stuff. Okay.
Exactly. And then we come up with our page, and then I basically go in here, I create a new page for us, say, create options, gonna go to page, that part page, created. So, customers, and then I just leave that and put it in the side pages. Okay. So, created. So this is going to be the host page for my web part, where I basically put the web part on. And as you can see, I have a lot of web part zones here.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose the header one, and if I go to my custom, I should see my northern
there
customers web part.
You do have a lot of custom parts, don't you?
Yeah, as you said.
You're busy.
Later, yes. And I'm going to hit OK. And as you can see,
cool. We
have that.
Got
right?
data.
Let's go out of that. And let's scroll down to go to our...
Yeah, you could make these editable and everything, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Let's go down here and say, I want to hand out the customers from Germany. Hit the button. And
there you go,
here.
There's your breakpoint.
There you go.
Okay.
And, okay, so cool. Let's switch back to our studio quickly and remove that button that we can see that we've done. HX, right? Let's...
Okay, right. The script callback will actually work. Okay.
Let's go to our USA, guys.
There, so like, there's no post back. There's no visible post
exactly.
back. Exactly.
Right. So there's no like
mm-hmm.
this paper.
So only those only those controls are in that update panel. So you don't have to actually see the flicker.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. I mean, so the advantage of using a Visual Web Part though is you really are kind of get everything in the box that you would have in an ASP.NET user control you could use as well. And so
and it's also like for if you're an ASP.NET developer who gets started with SharePoint development, that's really an easy way to get into SharePoint development because it uses familiar concepts. You don't need to take care much or think about much how to package that thing, how to bring it up to SharePoint, how to deploy it, and that type of stuff. So.
Okay, right. So if you're looking at customizing SharePoint, this and you're coming from that background, this is an easy
exactly.
way to get going. Okay, cool. Very
so,
cool. So that the only restriction you have in this case though is that it must be deployed as a farm solution,
exactly.
so that you have to have admin level rights here.
Yeah. So and also not just admin level rights. So some customers don't allow you to put assemblies like custom assemblies in the GAC. Right?
Okay.
Say hey, we don't want to have that there for some reason, security policy reasons.
So when you deploy as farm, you're actually putting that assembly in the global assembly cache,
exactly.
as well as laying down a physical file inside.
Exactly.
Bin. Okay, gotcha.
Not in the bin. So
okay.
the
so it's more like a web application.
Yeah,
like
so the it actually, the user control goes into the file system, which we call the SharePoint Hive.
Okay.
So it's
where but SharePoint hosts. But it is in the file system.
Yeah, it is in the file system.
It's not in the content database.
No.
Okay, right.
And that's the other web part, right? If you create a sandbox web part, then the output assembly goes into the database.
Okay, so the advantage of doing a sandbox is that you are in a sandbox, number
exactly.
one, right? So you don't have to have that level of rights,
yeah.
right? So it kind of, and so I guess so if you were like a huge SharePoint enterprise, right, you know, have SharePoint in the enterprise, you definitely would want people to build farm solutions
mm-hmm.
in those cases, right? So they would build sandboxes. In that case, does it go into the content database only?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you're restricted that you can't use Visual WebPart.
Exactly. And the reason was what I showed you at the very beginning was here, if I go back to my WebPart. That we basically just use a web part.
Right.
As you can see, this class derives from web part.
Mm-hmm.
So we just create a web part that actually renders a user control, and that requires access to the file system, and that's not allowed in a sandbox solution.
Okay. So are we going to write a sandbox one now?
Yes, we're going to do a sandbox one. So let's create a new project. And you will see that there is no web part in there. And there is not such a thing as a sandbox web part. There's
okay.
just none. So we always need to start creating an empty SharePoint project.
Okay.
Leave it SharePoint project one. And here we say, okay, deploy a sandbox solution because we want to do that. Of course, you could change that once the project is created.
Okay.
Hit finish. So now we have an empty SharePoint project, and now we can go in here and say add new item. And those items, we call them SharePoint project items,
mm-hmm.
just if you want to look at the literature. And
okay.
there's a web part.
Okay.
So let's call that thing sandboxed. Okay. And click add. So there's another neat thing about creating an empty SharePoint project first and adding a web part or a Visual web part, and that's you don't need to rename your web part file anymore. Because it's already got the name of the project, or
okay.
of the SharePoint project item, sorry, not the project.
You'd still put in a description here if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So, and now we look at this, that's what SharePoint creates for us.
Okay.
No, Visual Studio creates for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks, create child controls, derives from web part, that looks pretty much like the web part we use to render the user control.
I right. see, right.
So, and the disadvantage of that web part type is, as you can see, there is no designing. So you
right.
need
you need to write the code yourself.
Everything
okay.
by hand, yeah.
Okay.
So I was thinking about a scenario because it's a sandboxed web part, and that basically means it can only access data that is exposed in SharePoint in the same site collection. So, and in that case, I was thinking, okay, let's build a web part that reads out some tasks and basically shows us an overview how many tasks are not started yet, how many tasks are completed, and so on and so forth.
So sandbox, you can't go outside of SharePoint?
No.
That's, okay, so that's
not even outside of SharePoint. You cannot even go outside your site collection.
Site, okay.
So
gotcha.
If I created a new site collection here, which let's call it, finance department,
mm-hmm.
and I have a sandboxed web part in there, in the site collection finance department, it couldn't call into a site collection
okay.
which would be marketing department,
I
so
see.
You couldn't retrieve any data from there.
Okay.
Also, you cannot make any data access calls, so you're really restricted.
Okay.
It's really a sandbox. You can really only work with the data in there.
Is it meant more for just putting a different view on the data that you already have in your site?
I mean, there are scenarios where you want to do that. For example, lists are not sufficient
mm-hmm.
from a view, as you said. You
mm-hmm.
want to add some more functionality
okay.
and that type of stuff. So
okay.
there are certainly some valid reasons to use sandbox web parts.
Okay. You could still write business rules around
this
stuff
exactly.
and that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. Okay.
So, okay, and here's my task list, and let's go back here. And the first thing I'm going to do is I add a new class. And go to code, class, and I'll call it thing, task. So in my class task group, because I'm, as you've probably noticed, and as you already know, I'm not the best typer. So, oops, and going to remove that. So what it does is it's basically, we create an object that says, okay, what tasks that it has, for example, completed, not started, and then a task count.
Okay.
That's all we do with that thing. So the next thing is we're going to go back here and I'm going to add a bunch of using statements so that I don't forget them. Because you'll see when once we're done, there's a lot of code in there, so that's why I don't want to do that. And since I'm drawing, needs an assembly. And that was...
Now, do you have access to the SharePoint server object model in both of these
yes.
scenarios, right?
Okay. But you can only access the data in your site collector.
Okay, right, all right.
So system.drawing is... Search by name.
Well, this dialog is now asynchronous now, so you got to wait till it fills in your namespace now.
Okay, so that should do it.
There you go.
Okay, now we've done that, and the first thing is I'm going to create some definitions here. So I'm going to create a couple list item collection objects, and
okay.
what I need them for is, because when I query my task list, I need to know how many tasks have not been started, and as the name says, not in, are in progress or completed.
Okay.
And because I need to use common queries to query the tasks, I'm basically writing the result back into one of those objects,
okay.
as you can see. So let's forget about the create child controls method for a minute. Let's create some helper functions. So the first one is create task groups, and that's why I didn't want to type it.
So these are camel queries, is that right?
Yeah. So let's screw up.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm doing here is I basically get an SP web, which is actually my site, represents and say current web. Then I'm going to get my task list,
mm-hmm.
and then I have my first comma query, and that's for people who are not familiar with SharePoint, and even for some who are familiar with SharePoint. It's really a pain point, including myself, but basically what I'm doing here is I have a new query which says, hey, get me all the list items that have the value or the status not started, right?
Okay.
And here I say in progress, and here I say completed.
Okay.
So once I've done that, I'm going to go into my, going to create another method, and I call it get task groups. So now I've done, as you've seen, I get my results back here.
Mm-hmm. So all the queries, right?
I basically assign them to my objects, and then here I say, okay, create a new task group list of type task groups, and then I say, okay, not started, and then the count.
Counting.
So that's
okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's not rocket science, it's just a little bit of code. Okay, so the last step is we need to write that out, because we need to visually display
the
data, right?
We need to create a view for it.
So, and that's why we use the create child controls method, and
okay.
that's actually the preferred method to do that, to write out that stuff there. So let's go add the code here. And what we do here is we first
load
the data, then we get the task groups list, then we create a new table. Right, we do some.
So this is like an HTML table?
Yes.
Okay.
So we get ASP.NET table, HTML table, that's
mm-hmm.
what it's going to be, right?
Okay.
Then we create a header, then we set some coloring and that type of stuff. Then we have like header cells, task status, and task count. Then we add that stuff. It's really painful. As you can see, a designer is much
There's
not
no
better.
Designer, yeah.
There's no designer. So, and then here basically we fill the table with data. That's what we do.
Okay.
So, let's see if it works.
Yeah, let's see if it works.
Let's see if it works. Let's set a breakpoint here and then hit F5. Okay, cool.
There you go.
Seems to work.
Okay, so.
We're going to go to site pages and we're going to go to our Northwest customer page. And
Northwind, yes.
Yes. We click edit page, add the web part, check if the web part is there, and then add web part, and
there
we
go. There's your breakpoint, okay.
And then I'm going to hit a 5, And there it is.
Okay.
I have a nice coloring, so we're waiting.
Okay.
So that's basically like, let's remove the red part, hit F5 again, and there you go.
Breakpoint. Yeah, okay. All right, so there's different functionality levels and different permission levels that you have to, that are trade-offs, okay? So I think I understand what the trade-offs are and what the features are in each. So you just basically totally depends on what you're building and the scenario you're deploying to.
I think the recommendation is try sandboxed web parts first, sandbox solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, it depends on your customer scenario. If you
need to access anything outside of that site, you have to go with
full trust.
Full trust.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Well, anything else? Any other tips?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have some, because when we were talking about sandbox web parts and farm level web parts, you might think, okay, I cannot deploy my web part to, so my customer doesn't allow me to deploy my web part output assembly to the DAC, right?
Right. Okay.
So I need to use a sandbox web part, but I want to access data outside my site collection.
Right.
So what am I going to do then?
Right.
There is this magic word which is called CAS policies.
You
can actually use CAS policies and deploy the web part to the bin directory of the web application.
The sandbox one or the?
The normal one. So if I go to a web part, for example, here, right, and go up here.
The visual web part, okay.
Mm-hmm. So here you see the deployment target, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would set it not to sandbox solution false. I can set that to false, right? Say yes. And then I can say assembly deployment target. And right now it says global assembly cache.
Right.
You see that? So if I click here, I have all the web application.
Okay.
What that means is the assembly is going to put on disk in the bin directory of the web application.
Okay.
But once you put it there, you don't have any rights, so you need to apply CAS policies that allow the execution of the web part.
Okay, and that's separate, that's on the actual machine?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So those are the things. The takeaways are, I mean, I think the Visual Web Part Designer is a great thing we've done in 2010, and as you've seen, I mean, it was not really highly sophisticated web part that I built, but I mean, database access, a little bit filtering, was really easy to do.
Right.
And I think that the biggest takeaway is really, for ASP.NET developers, it's a fairly decent entry point.
Okay, cool. And you don't have to write all of this UI code yourself.
That might end up being a lot of code, as you can see, right?
Right, exactly. All right, cool. Well, thanks, Boris. This kind of clears some things up for me, and I'm going to have to play with that web application switch, I think, and get a feel for how this stuff all works. Anything else?
Nope.
Like to say? All right, well, thank you very much.
Yes, thanks
all
for having me.
Okay.